Thanks to Monica in Springfield, Illinois, Jane in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're only 11 members away from meeting our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by All Saints Sunday, November the 6th. Now, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club is our monthly or annual giving program. When you join, you're not only supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., but you'll also receive benefits like t-shirts, books, transcripts, and advertising for your congregation. Check out the Issues Etc. Reformation Club at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, and consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club before Sunday, November the 6th.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Now, if you've listened to the show for any amount of time or heard any of our sermon reviews like we're going to have here in the last half hour on this Monday afternoon here on Issues Etc., you have heard me say that the preaching of Christ crucified and risen from the dead for sinners is the subject for every Sunday, every sermon, every time your pastor steps in the pulpit. I put it in shorthand saying, don't let your pastor give Jesus the week off. Now, you'd think on Reformation Sunday, that would be an easier thing to do. That is, there is a tendency on these historical days of the church to, well, not so much give Jesus the week off, but you could talk about, say, Martin Luther. It's an interesting story. It's fascinating. Just telling the story of the Reformation would be compelling to anyone who hasn't been filled in on all the details. And Luther, of course, is a man of enormous historical stature. You could end up with a Reformation Sunday sermon that is a great, fantastic history lesson on the Reformation and Luther's thought and his work and all those around him, without much Jesus, which would not be in keeping with the spirit of the Reformation in any way whatsoever, and would certainly run afoul of anything that Luther would have intended for preaching in the churches, especially those that may bear his name or count him as a theological ancestor. So as we jump into this sermon review from a Reformation sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Will Whedon, one of our regular guests, at the church where he serves, St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, we still want to be listening, even though it's a Reformation sermon, for Jesus in his saving work. And that means that if we're going to hear a real Reformation sermon, it won't be only about the Reformation. It will be about what sparked the Reformation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who saves sinners by his shed blood at the cross. Now, we're going to do a sermon review in this half hour. If you want to react to the sermon, you can give us a call as well, 1-877-623-6943, or send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. We always start with our sermon diagnostic, that is, how you listen to a sermon. This doesn't tell you everything you need to know about good preaching, but it does get you to that, is Jesus being preached in his saving office every Sunday, every sermon. Jesus himself says that the standard is repentance and the forgiveness of sins preached in his name. That's very important. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins preached in his name to all nations. And he intends this to be the ongoing and never-ending until he returns task of the church. That's why we say every sermon, every Sunday. He says this is how Christians ought to be reading the Bible. In John chapter 5, he says, search the scriptures, and guess what? You will find that they testify of me. You think you find eternal life there? You do, but you find that eternal life in me. We're told by the writer to the Hebrews that Christians ought to always be looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. And he doesn't just leave that Jesus hanging out there. He tells us who that Jesus is, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. No doubt about who that Jesus is. So our sermon diagnostic follows the guidelines set out for us by this and many other passages. First, how often is Jesus mentioned? This can be kept track of. Just keep a simple running tally of how often the pastor mentions Jesus by name, specifically Jesus, second person of the Trinity, incarnate Son of God, not just generic references to God, but Jesus in particular. And that's not all you need to know, but you need to ask yourself the question, how often is Jesus mentioned? Jesus should be all over every sermon. I can tell you right now, there's nothing better your pastor should be preaching to you than what Jesus has done, who he is, what he's done for you. So, if Jesus is mentioned, you can go on to part two. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And that sounds like an odd grammatical question, but it really isn't. It is asking, is Jesus the one doing the action of this sermon? Are we being told about Jesus and who he is and what he's done? Or is Jesus just being brought in as a footnote to something else? I often say, is the pastor showing you vacation pictures or pictures of his grandkids on the big screen and then occasionally mentioning Jesus? Jesus doesn't end up being the subject of the verbs in those kind of sermons, does he? He just is there to kind of make it sound more Christian. So is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? If those are both true, you need to ask yourself one other question. What are the verbs? Because a lot of different Jesuses are being preached out there. Not the Jesus who's the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, but a Jesus who's more or less a therapist or a life coach or someone who can root you on in the race of life, show you how, and then set you off on your own with the pat on the backside to do it for yourself. That's not the Jesus of Scripture. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And then what are those verbs? What is the preacher telling you that Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? The Jesus who suffers, who dies, who is obedient unto the Father for you, who lives a life of perfect obedience for you, who suffers all things and the punishment for your sin for you at the cross, who sheds his blood for you. That's the Jesus you need to hear every Sunday, every sermon. Now, the text for this is a familiar Reformation Day text. It's from John chapter 8. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." That's the text. Here's the sermon from Pastor Will Wheaton preached yesterday in observance of the Reformation.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. No, the church is not decked out in red for the cardinals. The church is decked out in red in honor of the great feast of the Reformation. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It was a very wise vicar general of the Augustinian order named Johann von Staupitz who decided that that verse held the key to what on earth he was supposed to do with his troublesome and troubled monk, Martin Luther. 1511 was the year. Luther could find no peace. He went to the confession. He confessed hours on end all of his sins. He fasted. He tortured himself. He did every penance they gave him to do, and he still couldn't come to any peace that his sins were forgiven. You see, unlike you and me, that man was brutally honest with himself. He knew that in his heart of hearts, he did not love God with his all. He knew that he did not love his neighbor as himself. In fact, the more he dealt with God, the more he came to absolutely hate this God who would give to humanity laws that no sinful human being would ever be able to keep. How can a man be righteous before God when he can't even begin for a single day to keep the commandments of God without falling again and again? Luther had an acute ear to every bit of God's law, but he was utterly tone deaf to the sweet melody of the gospel. How to help the poor man? Staupitz decided, I know what I'm going to do with you. I'm making you a doctor of Holy Scripture. You go study the word and teach it to others. God's word will do what I have not been able to do. So Luther, monk and priest, was dispatched to the newly founded University of Wittenberg to assume the chair, doctor of theology, lecturer in sacred scripture. Staupitz was wise. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Abide in the word, Luther did. Light gradually began to break into his darkness. But heaven broke upon his soul with the understanding of one little term.
We'll take a break. When we come back on the other side of the break, hear more and review more of this Reformation sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Will Whedon at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. I invite your questions or comments. We are coming to you live this Monday afternoon, the last day of October, October 31st, Reformation Day proper, we should say. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc. Reviewing this sermon so far, we've gotten kind of the typical history lesson, aren't we, that I talked about at the beginning. Reformation sermons do tend to kind of go this way quite often. We need to tell the story of what the day is about, and yet we're still using our diagnostic. How often is Jesus mentioned? Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And crucially, what are those verbs? By the way, you can read the text of this sermon at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., All Saints Day, and we celebrate with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, looking at that great All Saints hymn, "For All the Saints Who From Their Labors Rest." That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. In the meantime, in the last 10 minutes of the program, back to the sermon preached by Pastor Will Whedon for Reformation Sunday yesterday at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He's picking up the story of Luther and how the light began to dawn on him when he struggled to chase down one word.
Justitia Dei, righteousness of God. You see, Luther didn't get it. He's trying to lecture on Romans. He reads in Romans 1 that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. And this is somehow supposed to be good news. And it made no sense to him, because it was bad enough with Moses. Moses said, you shall not commit adultery. But in the gospel, Jesus says, oh yeah? You even look at another person lustfully. You've already committed adultery with them in your heart. Moses said, you shall not murder. But Jesus says, oh, you get angry at your brother in your heart. You speak cutting, unkind words. You've murdered him already where it counts. In your heart. Luther puzzled his puzzler, trying to understand it. How could it be good news that in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed? He prayed, he read, he pondered, he studied. He continued to abide in the words of Jesus, and then suddenly those words opened it up to him, and he saw it with shocking brilliance. The righteousness that's revealed in the gospel is not a righteousness that a human being brings to God. It is a righteousness that God gives to a human being. Not a perfection you have to achieve. The gospel is all about a perfection of what Jesus achieved for you and delivers to you. It's something you can only receive. He said, when he saw that, it was as though the very gates of heaven opened up upon his soul. He continued in the words of Jesus, and the word of Jesus did exactly what Jesus promised. It set him free. Suddenly, the faith itself was filled with joy. The gospel revealed a God who was not just waiting and ready to crush him as soon as he sinned. The gospel revealed a God who looked on him in pity and mercy and provided for him the righteousness that he could never achieve for himself. And suddenly, even love became possible. You ever thought about it? Have you ever been the object of someone doing a good work so that they could curry favor with God? You know what? When they're doing it, they don't care about you. They're not really loving you. All they're doing is trying to build up their bank account in heaven. They're using you. And so this approach to good works, it leaves this selfishness intact at the core of our being. But when you know that good works don't help you at all, when you know that good works can only benefit your neighbor, that you've already got a righteousness that's so perfect, you can't even add to it. It's perfect and whole and entire and in heaven for you. It's Jesus. There's nothing you can do to add to it when you know that. Then you're free to really love your neighbor and be of some benefit to them without thinking about what it brings back for you. No. Did you hear the ring of it all through chapter 3 of Romans? Paul said there, the law of God is given to shut every mouth so that the entire world will be held accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, by doing the very best you can do, no human being is going to be justified or declared righteous in the sight of God. No. But now, Paul says, the righteousness of God has shown up, been revealed apart from the law, apart from anything that you do. It showed up as God's gift to Jesus and all who believed. If you've never put these scripture passages into your heart and into your mind, do it. Keep them there. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, declared righteous, by his gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. God put him forth as your propitiation, your sacrifice that wipes out sin through his blood. His blood does that. His cross was all about that. And faith trusts that his cross has really done the job. Your sin, all of it, on him, and so not on you. And his righteousness, all of it, laid on you. He is the righteous one. God then is your justifier. You can give up this ridiculous game of trying to justify yourself in front of other people all the time, always explaining yourself. You don't need to do it. You certainly don't need to do it to God. He's the justifier. He looks at you and he declares you just in his Son. He did that when he raised his Son from the dead. That counts for you. That counts for all who believe. And do you see how it just wipes out boasting? No boasting, no pride, but just sinners covered in the blood of Jesus. And so God declares you righteous, holy, perfect, without sin, by faith, apart from everything you do. You don't have a reason to boast, except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, the prison opened. Instead of ceaselessly trying to do enough so that God somehow on the day of judgment will love you, accept you, embrace you, the gospel gives you free and unearned what you sought, that love, that acceptance, that embrace. You've got all you need in him for time and for eternity. And as I said earlier, that really sets you free to love. You can really care for your neighbor without even thinking about racking up divine brownie points. And when on the last judgment, do you remember that? Think of that out of Matthew 25. Remember Jesus talking about the last judgment? And he says to the righteous, to the justified, he says, I was hungry and you gave me food. Do you remember what they said? When did we do that? They were so focused on him, they weren't even concentrating on the good and the love that was flowing through their lives to other people. Faith looks only to Jesus, not to its own doings. So, people loved by God, today, the great feast of the Reformation, is it still good to celebrate it after all these years? 494 since Luther nailed the 95 Theses. You better believe it's still good, because there still is nothing that is so freeing as the gospel. And when anything in the life of the church begins to obscure, to occlude, to cover, or God forbid, to contradict the gospel, whatever it is, it has to go. It must be removed for your sake, for the sake of the church, and for the sake of the world, so that all people might be able to hear and by God's Spirit rejoice in the righteousness freely given in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus' promise came true for Martin Luther. Jesus' promise comes true for you too. For that blessed freedom, the free gift of divine sonship and perfect righteousness, all glory to our giver God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and to the ages of ages. Amen.
So you see there, a Reformation sermon is one that actually preaches the gospel that brought about the Reformation, the cross of Jesus Christ and the full sufficiency of his death for sinners for the whole world. Thanks to Monica in Springfield, Illinois, Jane in Fort Wayne, Indiana, we're only 11 members away from meeting our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by All Saints Sunday, November the 6th. Now, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club is our monthly or annual giving program. When you join, you're not only supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., but you'll also receive benefits like T-shirts, books, transcripts, and advertising for your congregation. Check out the Issues Etc. Reformation Club at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, and consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club before Sunday, November the 6th. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to study a hymn for All Saints Day, the hymn for all the saints. Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. That's tomorrow. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you again. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.